If you were here with us last week, you know that we finally wrapped up our series through the book of Joshua. We took a little over 6 months to walk through that book and just allow God to speak to us through it. And I hope it was as good for everyone else as it was for me. As a matter of fact, I just want to encourage you, if you didn't get to, or if you missed part of that series and some of that series, I would just encourage you to go online and to listen to some of those messages, because I think there were some pretty powerful things that I believe the Lord was speaking to our church, and even to us as individuals throughout that series. Just some powerful things. I mean, I grew a lot over these last 6 months walking through the book of Joshua, learning from Joshua, learning from the Israelites and their mistakes. And as I've said it before, it's so relevant for today. So much of what we read through Joshua and through the Israelites, it's so much of what we're walking through today, of just trying to continue to be faithful to live for the Lord. And so I would encourage you to check out that series. So we wrapped that up last week. Next week, we're going to be kicking off kind of our series called Transform that will go along with our life groups. And so I'm excited about this. And so in this transition, is this week in between, I was trying to figure out, you know, what would God want me to speak about this week in this transition from Joshua heading into this series of Transformed. And as I prayed and sought the Lord, he led me to 2 Kings. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open to 2 Kings chapter 4. If you were here last week as we wrapped up Joshua, you heard me share a little bit about Joshua himself, right? At the very end of the message, I kind of pointed out the fact that he wasn't some superhuman, right, with superhero-like powers. I talked about the fact that Joshua was just a man. He was just a person like you and me. He was an ordinary man that God used to do extraordinary things. Again, I'm sorry. And this morning I want to expand on the fact that like Joshua, we're just ordinary people. But the reality is God wants to use us as ordinary people to do extraordinary things if he will let us. And the scripture that we're going to read in 2 Kings shows us that we serve a God that can turn our nothing into something. That's the title of this message this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me as we're going to read 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. Some of you may be familiar with this scripture. I remember it growing up. It's a great miracle of the Lord. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. Verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live off what is left." Now, when I read through this scripture and looked at this scripture, there were three things that stood out to me about this widow. And I want to share those with you. But also in the midst of these things, I think it's cool because we find out some amazing things about the character of God as he responds to the widow. The first thing that stood out to me about the widow is that she sought the Lord. In verse 1, it says she cried out to Elisha. Now, Elisha wasn't just some guy passing by, okay? That she just decided to cry out to, right? She didn't just randomly pick him out of the crowd. She knew she knew who Elisha was, and apparently Elisha knew her husband, and she knew that Elisha was a man of God. He was a prophet. She knew that if anyone had an answer, if anyone at that time would have some godly wisdom, it would be Elisha. And so she sought the Lord through Elisha. And we have to remember at this time, people had to go through prophets and priests and leaders to seek the Lord. They didn't have the privilege that we have today. They didn't have the Holy Spirit where we can seek the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so she sought the Lord. And the question for us is, who do we go to in times of need? When we're facing challenges and difficulties, where do we turn when we don't have answers? Well, God's desire is like this woman, is that we would seek Him. That we would seek Him first in all things, right? Here's the thing, He created us. That's a big thing. He created us. He has a plan for our lives. No one can love us, right? No one can care for us. No one can provide for us like God can. The widow sought God, and because she did, we see something wonderful and unique about the character of God. In verse 2, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have?" Now here's the thing, and I'm not sure why. Because the Lord knows time and time again we fail and fall short. But the reality is, God chooses to use us. He chooses to use His people. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have, right? That's what Elisha says to her. What do you have? He could have just, right, snapped his fingers. He could have done this miraculous miracle and just made money appear. But instead, he chose to use the widow and her sons. What do you have? You see, God desires to use us to see miracles take place in our own lives. What do you have? What can I use of you? If we seek Him, we can be sure that He will be faithful to use us. As I was sharing this, I thought back to a memory years ago. We have an organization, or we had an organization in Newburgh called Love Inc. It was started by a couple ladies in our church. They had sought this need in our community, and they started this organization called Love Inc. Now, Love Inc. is a national organization, but they started it in the city of Newburgh. And what Love Inc. is, and you've probably heard me talk about it before from time to time, but Love Inc. is basically a clearinghouse. People would come into this Love Inc. office, and they had was this clearinghouse of resources, and so they had connected with churches and different resources, and so when someone would come in with a need, they'd be able to send them to a place to meet that need. Through many churches, all different churches had different ways that they helped out. You know, whether it was like our church had did bus passes and gas vouchers for people that didn't have money. You know, maybe they had a job interview or this or that, and there were all sorts of ways that different churches helped out. And I remember the main lady that ran this organization. She would send out a newsletter each week, kind of things that were happening. And I remember this one little thing that she had wrote, and I looked it up, and this is her talking about something that happened this week at Love Inc. And so let me just read it to you. It says, "A man in his 70s walked into the Love Inc. office this month. He asked if I had a couple of minutes. I said, sure. He sat down and began to share about the job that we had previously assigned him to as a volunteer. He said, I have been helping this family by repairing some dry rot, and I'm putting a ramp on the front of their home to make it wheelchair accessible. This young family has so many needs, he said with tears welling up in his eyes. He says, I'm not good looking. I can't sing. I can't preach. But God gave me two hands, and I will do all that I can to help this family with these hands. By now, tears were trickling down my face. I was so moved by this kind-hearted man who was so willing to be used by God to help others. And I think what a beautiful picture of how God wants to use us, being willing to be His hands and feet. He wants to use us, and whether that's to repair things for people in need, whether that's to go be a missionary in a third world country, or whether that's simply just to be a mom who loves the kids in her neighborhood that come into her house, we're called to be His hands and feet and to be used by Him. It's just a matter of us seeking Him and allowing Him to use us however He desires to use us. The second thing that stood out to me about this widow was that she thought she had nothing to give. Verse 2 says, "Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except for a little oil." Now the reality is she had probably sold everything that she had, trying to get money to pay off this debt. And so when Elisha asked her what she had, you know, in her eyes, in her mind, she really thought, "I have nothing." And I wonder, how many times do we say the same thing? How many times do we feel like we have nothing to give? Well, I'm here to tell you, guess what? You don't. Honestly, we don't have anything to give. We on our own can't do anything. Sorry. Excuse me. But that's what's so awesome about the character of God. He can take our nothing and He can turn it into something. He can take what little we have and turn it into an amazing miracle that blesses us and brings honor to Him, right? If we're willing to be used, He will take what little gifts we have and multiply them for His glory. I want to share a cute little illustration that I think just brings this point home this morning. It says, a little girl wanted to become a great pianist, but all she could play on the piano was a simple little tune, Chopsticks. Her parents decided after some time to arrange for a great maestro to teach her to play properly. Of course, the little girl was delighted. When the little girl and her parents arrived at the maestro's mansion for their first lesson, they were escorted by the butler into the parlor, where they saw a beautiful concert grand piano. Immediately, the little girl dashed over to the piano and began to play Chopsticks, right? And I can't remember what Chopsticks is. I always want to go, dun-dun-dun-dun, but I know that's not. It's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, something like that. I don't know. But anyway, she began to play Chopsticks. Her parents were embarrassed and ran to pull her off the piano. But at that time, the maestro entered the room and encouraged them to let her continue to play. As she continued to play Chopsticks, the maestro took a seat on the piano bench next to the little girl, just listening to her play. After a moment, he began to play along with her, adding chords, runs, and arpeggios. You can correct me if I said that wrong later, Polly. And so he begins to do this while the little girl continued to play Chopsticks. The parents couldn't believe their ears. They were hearing a beautiful piano duet played by their daughter and the maestro. And amazingly enough, the central theme of it all was Chopsticks. I love this illustration. We may not feel like we have much to give. We may feel like all we have is Chopsticks. You know, for me, it's Mary Had a Little Lamb. Dun, 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 dun. You know, that's all I can do. But like this illustration, in the hands of the Lord, our Chopsticks or our Mary Had a Little Lamb, right, or our hot cross buns, whatever it is, can become a beautiful masterpiece. With God, our nothing can always become something. Now the key is we have to be willing to just sit down at the piano and give Him what we have. What do we have? That's the question, right? And the answer for this is going to be different for all of us, what we have to give. I just want to share with you just a practical illustration that I think might help us think differently along these lines. Years ago in youth ministry, as we used to go to youth pastors' conference, I met this guy by the name of Mike Kai. great man of God, now pastors a church in Hawaii, and recently Foursquare sends out these weekly little kind of encouraging stories, and there was a story about Mike Kai, and I just want to give you a little blurb from what it said. It says, a couple summers ago, Pastor Mike Kai of Inspire Church in Hawaii challenged his church members to find a need and fill it. I told them, don't wait for a church-sanctioned ministry. Just go do something. You have to go outside, find a need, and fill it. The result? Members started creative outreach ministries that Mike says are now some of our biggest ministries. Among these ministries are Bake a Blessing, which provides birthday cakes to underprivileged kids who would otherwise not get a cake. Kids Rock, an outreach to kids in neighborhood parks. And Side by Side, a support group for parents of children with learning disabilities. Very simple concept. Find a need and fill it. You know, what do we have to give? The key is we have to be willing to give Him whatever we do have. What are those things that we see and go, I could do that. I could bake a cake for kids in need. I could, you know, come alongside someone that does this or that. We have to be willing to do whatever it is to let God take our nothing and turn it into something. The third and final thing then now that I noticed about the widow in this scripture was how she went and did what she was told without question. Without question. I mean, when you think about it, it sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? You know, go get these jars. I've got a little bit of oil, and you want me to pour oil from this little bit of oil into all these jars. It sounds ridiculous. But what did she do? She went and she did it. She moved forward in faith. She didn't question Him. She just responded. How often do we question things that the Lord tells us to do? Especially the crazy things, right? The things that don't make sense. I wonder how many times we miss out on great miracles like this, right? Because we're afraid to step out in faith. We're afraid to trust that the Lord really can take our nothing and turn it into something. Trust, believing in God, that's an interesting thing. I want to share with you a little illustration from Ken Davis. He's a guy, funny comedian, Christian guy, involved with Campus Life for years in ministry, and just a cool guy. But a little illustration he had here says this. It says, in college, I was asked to prepare a lesson to teach my speech class. It says, we were to be graded on our creativity and ability to drive home a point in a memorable way. The title of my talk was The Law of the Pendulum. I spent 20 minutes carefully teaching the physical principle that governs a swinging pendulum. The law of the pendulum is that a pendulum can never return to a point higher than the point from which it was released. Because of friction and gravity, when it returns, it will fall short of its original release point. Each time it swings, it makes less and less of an arc until it comes to rest. This point of rest is called the state of equilibrium, where all forces acting on the pendulum are equal. I attached a 3-foot string to a child's toy top and secured it to the top of the chalkboard with a thumbtack. I pulled the top to one side, made a mark on the blackboard where I let it go, and each time it swung back, I made a new mark. It took less than a minute to complete it swinging and come to rest. When I finished my demonstration, the markings on the blackboard proved my thesis. I then asked, how many people in the room believe the law of the pendulum was true? All my classmates raised their hand. So did my teacher. He started to walk to the front of the room to release people from class. But in reality, the class had just begun. Hanging from the steel ceiling beams in the middle of the room was a large, crude, but functional pendulum. 250 pounds of metal weights tied to 4 strands of 500-pound test parachute cord. I invited the structure to climb up on a table and sit in a chair with his back of his head against a cement wall. When I brought the 250 pounds of metal up to his nose, holding the huge pendulum just a fraction of an inch from his face, I once again explained the law of the pendulum he had applauded only minutes before. If the law of the pendulum is true, then when I release this mass of metal, it will swing across the room and will return short of the release point. Your nose, your face will be in no danger. After that final statement of this law, I looked him in the eye and asked, "Sir, do you believe this law is true?" There was a long pause. Huge beads of sweat formed on his upper lip and his cheeks and down his face. And then weakly, he nodded and whispered, "Yes." I released the pendulum. It made a swishing sound as it arced across the room. At the far end of its swing, it paused momentarily and started back. I never saw a man move so fast in his life. He literally dove from the table. Deftly stepping around the still swinging pendulum, I asked the class, "Does he really believe in the law of the pendulum?" The students unanimously answered, "No." You see, we say we have faith in the Lord, but so often, right, as that pendulum begins to swing back, what do? We jump out of the way. The widow believed in the Lord. The widow was faithful to do what Elisha told her to do. And because of that, she experienced an amazing miracle in her life. Not only was the widow able to pay off her debts, there was also enough money for her and her sons to live off of. This again speaks to us about the character of God. You see, in verse 6 it says, "When all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' And then the oil stopped flowing." I think there are a couple things that we need to understand about the character of God from these scriptures here. And the first is this, is that the grace of God flows continuously as long as there is a vessel to receive it. As long as there were jars, the oil continued to flow. And I think as long as we are vessels willing to be used by God, He will continue to allow His grace to flow through us. What if there would have been more jars? What if they would have had more jars? I believe the oil would have continued. But that points out another aspect that I really believe we can pull out of this about the character of God. The other thing we can learn here about God's character is that God knows our needs. He knows how much we need and is faithful to provide for our needs. Verse 7 says, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Not only did God help pay off their debt, He provided enough for her and her sons now to live off of. God faithfully provided for all of their needs. Now, needs, remember that, because sometimes we want God to provide for all of our wants and all of our desires and all of our hobbies and things, right? But God will provide all of our needs. We serve a God who will faithfully provide for us if we allow Him to. It's a matter of us seeking Him, right? She sought out the Lord. It's a matter of us giving Him what little we have. And it's a matter of us trusting that He's faithful to provide for all our needs. We need to let go, right? And let God turn our nothings into something. God wants to use each and every one of us. And just like Joshua, who was simply a man, God used him in amazing ways. We are simply men and women of God that He wants to use in amazing ways for His glory. It may be in your workplace. It may be in your school. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be thousands of miles across the way in a foreign country. I've got some friends that have been called overseas. You know, the Lord just said, you know, life was good for them. And God said, "No, I'm calling you to do this." It could be wherever, or it could be places like Illinois, right? We got people heading out here soon, but God wants to use us wherever we're at if we allow Him to simply do that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this word. And Lord, it's just an encouragement because I know a lot of times I feel like nothing. I know when You call me to plant this church, I think of people like Billy Graham and people like Francis Chan in this world today, and even some greats that I loved growing up, Ron Mell, Lord, who's gone to be with you. But I think of these people and I think, man, those are pastors. I'm not a pastor. But basically, Lord, you just said, if you're faithful to give me what I have, you'll use me in the way you want to use me. And Lord, that's my desire. And I pray that that's the desire of each of us here, that, Lord, you would just allow us to be used in the way that you want to use us, Lord, to allow you to take our nothing and turn it into something, Lord. Help us to seek you, though, because that's where it starts. It's seeking you in all that we do, Lord. It's listening and obeying whatever you tell us to do, Lord. And it's then trusting in you, trusting that your will and way for our life is better than anything we can think up on our own, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to be faithful to live out the life that you've called us to live. Be faithful to see you turn our nothing into something miraculous, Lord, that draws people to you. Lord, you've called us to love you and to love people and to see your kingdom extended. And we're going to see that happen if we're faithful to do the things that you've called us to do, Lord. We thank you for these things, Lord. As we walk out of here this week, may you just challenge us. What are those things? What are those needs out there that you're calling us to fill? What are those things that maybe we're good at and we thought, that could be ministry? There are so many things, Lord. Life is ministry. All that we do is ministry, Lord. It says to do all things to the glory of you. Teach us and show us how to do that in all that we are. Lord, we thank you for this word. May it challenge us. Lord, may it encourage us. Lord, may it help us to draw closer to you and be more and more what you've called us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.